armed with many pieces of paper and lots of frantic note-taking all morning. It's a bit like doing a live show, this, when you're writing the script while it's actually unfolding in front of you. It's just been great fun. Thank you so much for asking me to come to do this. I feel very privileged to be in this sort of company, and particularly humbled to be following so many really, really, truly wonderful and passionate speakers today. I'm from a different discipline from you guys, but very much in the same business of, you know, as an arts documentary maker, as a director myself, and I run, you know, a documentary unit, making quite a lot of arts programmes. But, you know, it's all the same thing, isn't it? You're trying to create a new thing, you know, breathe it into life, something that's different, that looks different from everything else that's out there, that you need to protect, you know, that you need to find the money for and guard, and then try and somehow shepherd it into the world without letting it stop being its own self. And I think that's been the sort of the nub of what everyone's been working around in this session today. What I thought I would do in my little bit that might be useful is just in terms of really drawing together the threads, is to a little lightning appreciation of the speakers. I noticed that Sandy didn't do that, so thank you, Sandy, for leaving me the space to do that today. A little reminder of the headlines, or certainly the ones that jumped out to me, and I'll chip in some thoughts to that along the way, and maybe add some thoughts for tomorrow. Beginning with Ruth Little, who in no way am I going to be as eloquent as Ruth Little in being able to summarise what she says, or even able to summarise what she said. The podcast is up on the website, and I know that the people are asking for the text of Ruth's speech. I think that will be the sort of text that once you've read it about five or six times, you'll start to get to the real, you know, granular elements of that. So beautifully written. I love the idea of the Cape Farewell project. And if Ruth is still in the room, I would love to film that and have been Katrina for GI, who I think is here, introduced me to a bunch of artists in New York who I went to see when I was there last year, and I've become so interested in the idea of artists making their own films. Yeah. And that sounds like the sort of project that could just have it all.
Well, they did actually. We'll talk about that later.
Yes. So 5 minutes with you just before you go anywhere. Just such a beautiful idea, and the Gaelic word which I'm not going to try to say because I couldn't catch it. But that idea of a helm or a pilot or a rudder being able to be an active and navigation at the same time, that idea of navigation. I interviewed Robert Lepage once, and he spoke really beautifully about this idea, which is something I've really held on to in so many cutting rooms when things are not working, of the hand fitting the glove, of that sort of search in the dark almost, where you're trying to get your fingers inside the glove and make it into a coherent shape. And so I love that. The idea, again, that Ruth touched upon, of the idea of actively creating the conditions, and that you're only talented in context. You know, the television loves the idea of the lone genius, which I actually think is quite a corrosive idea. I think that actually the conditions, the time, your background, the individual's understanding of what their weaknesses are as much as their strengths, the team that they put around them, their openness to ideas from others, these are all the things that create really, really wonderful pieces of work. I think Ruth's reminder that humility comes from the word grounded, I think, is again really important. Almost too many things to say about Ruth's speech, in fact, but I'll pick out just one more idea, which is this idea of a taproot into culture. You know, this the Cayley, the passing of craft, skill, information, history, culture, a deep understanding of who we are and where we come from, knee to knee, as they say. I thought it was very beautiful. I thought it was a very, very beautiful speech, and a great deal of things that we have to take away from that. Not least her emphasis in this, again, was a bit of a running theme through the day so far about the importance of children in this. And if I could have a sort of metaphorical, in fact, I think I do often have a metaphorical child and animal in my office space, not least because I'm working with Jonathan Meads at the moment, who's definitely both of them. And, you know, that you're absolutely, you sort of really need to have those guys around, don't you, who are just going to be badly behaved a lot of the time and not want to play and want to play at something else and run off and get interested in something else. Vicky Featherstone, I thought, really took the conversation on again into a new and interesting realm, which I would summarise in the phrase the battle for resources, you know, the pressure for decision making, the way that she described, the inspirational way she described the 5-minute theatre, return to an ownership by the community of the theatre has inspired them, you know. But bold and brave to make the decisions to stay in that space when all of us have our day to day pressures upon us the whole time. You know, your fingernail just now has, you know, a kilogram of air on it, and it's that trying to you know, scientifically. The only reason you can't feel it is because obviously the air is all around your finger. But that feeling of sort of being compressed all the time at work and wanting to be able to break through, to be more creative and to really, really fight for that space, to blue sky, I think is just incredibly important. And I think that Vicky really was inspirational in that sense. Mark Booth from B3 Media referenced Malcolm Gladwell's 10,000 hours. Which is something that I've also read, and that idea that Gladwell has and that he talks about of a real really interesting examination of what it takes to be great is very much explored also in Carol Dweck's book Mindset, which Carol Dweck is a Stanford University professor. I'll just get some water. Just for a second. I also loved his flowchart, because I love a flowchart. His mentoring, development, production, networking, showcasing, you know, absolutely sort of real clarity of thought there. And again, another theme for today, that idea of the long conversation and time being so important. Development time, ideas time to think about what you do for a 10-year-old that might come back, you know, that might really come to fruition when they're 25. We've been doing a experiment, the Venezuela experiment, in just outside Stirling with Creative Scotland, and that will be the first time for me as a filmmaker we've been able to film longitudinally, which means that, you know, we start filming those kids when they've got their paper mache violins, when they're 4 years old, and we will keep with them until they're 25, and hopefully they're, you know, Gustav Dudamel by then, and, you know, we're with them in New York at the, you know, or the Berlin Philharmonic or something. And that sort of having the long conversation around art, incredibly important, expensive though, and you know, I'm very lucky. I work for the BBC. We're very, you know, we'll hopefully still be here in 25 years. You know, that you know, there's very, very few people who have that ability, I guess. The thing that I thought Mark Booth said, though, that was most affecting was the idea of, are we allowed in here, which really cut to my heart. And I think if there's one thing that I would try to do as a programme maker is include those people, I thought. And I thought that reminding people that sometimes the arts can be a very insular conversation came out again very strongly in Assis Carreoro, her speech about ballet dancers, which I thought was very revelatory to me, actually. I'd never really thought of the idea of an artist being not being taught how to ask why. I thought that was one of the fundamentals. So that seemed quite shocking. And I loved what Shona Manson said about this being a nuanced process, and in particular, that idea of not just heroic leadership. The two slides that stick in my mind are, of course, the one of the lone guy on top of the coastline, and the little boy who's headed down that hill no matter what, which I thought was brilliant and a way of demonstrating what that sort of feeling the fear, that good thing of feeling the fear can be. Chris Thorpe, that was just a brilliant performance, and thank you, Chris, for bringing something that was so sort of tangible. The things that I loved about that, I loved the idea of the shed. I have a shed where the bastards live, absolutely. I probably even know what colour it is. Reminding us not to cut corners and not to shy away from the difficult conversation. Incredibly important. And Kate McGrath, who was all about difficult conversations. The thing that I loved about it was, don't do it tired. When you're doing feedback, don't do it tired. Don't do it late at night. Don't do it drunk. I would also add, from many of the writers who I've worked with, try not to do it when they're tired or drunk or anything like that. But I think probably from what Kate said, I thought that the thing that that struck me most was that polarity of artists' strength feedback, producers love to give it. Because I was a director before I was a producer, I really know that feeling when I'm sitting in the edit suite and the executive producer comes in, which is now me, and you have that butterflies churning feeling, and trying to stay in touch with both of those sides, is, I think, incredibly, again, a sort of a really great insight into the process. So, tomorrow, everyone's coming back in here to the room to take the whole conversation on.
Not this room.
Okay. I'm so glad you said that. I would always come back. I'd be like, gosh, that really was a bad speech, Andrea. So, what I think we need to wonder about as an industry, as a sector, if we care to call ourselves that, is how seriously are we going to take this stuff? In the world of business management, I've recently been studying some of these issues about learning, particularly learning in a creative environment, which is a sort of really essential part of change management, and actually, because everything is changing all the time, the sequence of change that we go through is just speeding up all of the time. That how you learn new things is becoming increasingly important. I would absolutely recommend that. I mean, I had an inspirational professor in Columbia who I studied with briefly last year, called Satendra Wadhwa, who brought elements of neurology, management science, his own spiritual values as someone who grew up a Hindu, and cognitive behavioural therapy into this area of leadership, and so we did, actually we filmed sessions with David Burns, who came up with the idea of cognitive behavioural therapy, we worked with really, really great young leaders to uncover their, to unpick over sessions that could last 3 or 4 hours, to unpick what their mental barriers, what their deep mental barriers and what things they feared most, what stopped them doing things. It was really a superbly interesting and revealing process. So there's very little research on creative leadership. I mean, that's what everyone in this room is doing. And I think it's interesting that the business world are starting to really address this, but creative sector hasn't quite caught up with that. There's still quite in my line of work, there's still quite a barrier to being professionalised. So I'll just reiterate before tomorrow's thing, thank you again for inviting me. And what Ruth said, I think is useful to repeat about the questions for tomorrow. What have you been given? What have we been given? And what are we going to give back?